Dynasty Radio, 1382.
We gotta bless this function before we get things jumping. Invoking our ancestors in all the great loved ones we love. Fill up my cup, yeah. Gonna pour out some vinegar and call on the great ones for them to be with us. We got the spirit so high. It's a celebration. You got me feeling so nice. When we pour a libation, I go, amen. I go, amen. I'm calling out. And what's up? Call them out. We die. Call them out. Malcolm X. Call them out. Take it with pride. Can I proceed? Open the way. To tell the truth, I shed. Martin King, I shed. Harry and Tubman, I shed. And Drew Ali, I shed. We respect your knowledge, and we seek your wisdom. We invoke your presence to protect and guide. We got the spirit so high in this celebration. And you can
understand you by and by. and keep on wishing. Remember your dream is your only king, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey rumors people say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Good evening, family. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. How are you doing out there today? I'm glad that you're listening in. I have some things that I really want to talk to us about today, and I want you to share with me. So I want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. You can call in. You want to have a conversation. You want to make a comment. You know, you can do whatever you need to do. Give us some information that we're not putting out there, something that you would love to hear us talk about. The number to call in is 646-716-7572. Press the number one. It will definitely see that you're in queue, and we will call on you. Okay. Once again, this is the Revolutionary Radio for Revolutionary People, and we're here today live on the Education of the Miseducated System. So today is Tuesday, the 18th of August, and the year is moving rapidly. We'll be in September in a couple of weeks. So I do want to let you know that there are some things that I want to talk about. And let me just kind of reiterate some of the things that we've been talking about. For the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about different curriculums that we can use for homeschool. I want to thank you, my guests, for coming on. I want to thank Marcus Banks Bay for being on last week. We talked about the village and what it is. What is a village and how is the village to work in today's society with us as Black people and even our children and the role of a positive Black male in the lives of our young people. And I want to thank him because he took it all the way back. It really even helped me in dealing with my sons. My sons are grown men, but they're single men. And, you know, they have their girlfriends and stuff. But, you know, as a mom, I'm always going to be their mom. You're always going to be your child's a parent or grandparent or auntie or uncle, whoever's listening today. So you're always going to be there, and we're always going to have some type of influence in our children's lives. So that's what it's all about, having that influence, that positive influence, teaching and instructing our children in the way that we would love to see them go or whatever is in them, whatever they're bent to do. And when I say bent, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible and, you know, that sometimes, because I understand that some of a lot of the things that were in the Bible came from us anyway, that it was just stolen. But the scripture in the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And what I've come to understand that to mean is, in the way they should go, is in the way that they're bent to go. Empress T could talk about this on Saturday with her show, Christianity 101. But so many times when we hear those scriptures, we think we got to steer them into the way of the Lord, you know, the way of Jesus, and that's the way they should go. But our prisons are full of young men and young women who were turned in that way and said, you have to serve Jesus, you have to do this, but they're in prison. But they're in prison with a whole lot of talent and a whole lot of dreams that they had that were not fulfilled because they were turned in a way that parents, adults, whoever thought that they should go, and they just didn't fit in that mold. So when I look at that scripture saying in the way they should go and the way that they're bent to go, I knew that my oldest one was going to be an artist, loved to draw when he was an infant. And all I knew as a parent was that, you know, this is my first baby. I don't know nothing. I didn't raise anybody else's kids. My mama took care of my younger brothers, okay? I didn't do that. I just took the bottle to her. I didn't have to change diapers. I didn't know nothing. So when I had my oldest one, all I knew is from reading and what doctors said and hearing people, they like bright colors. So what I, so what I did in the bassinet, I took comic papers, you know, for the Sunday paper. I cut those strips out and taped them inside the bassinet so when he turns his head, he could look and see these bright colors. That's all I knew to do. I didn't know black and white was what they were really talking about. But from that point, you know, I remember as he grew older, we would send him to the room, and as long as he had pencil and paper and crayons in the room, that was his punishment to go to his room. But when he went there, he didn't mind because he'd pick up his crayons and pencils and papers and start drawing. He drew so much. One time he drew a mural. I call it a mural because he covered the whole wall with crayons. And I don't know what kind of crayons those were, but we had to sand the wall down to get the crayons off. Nothing, bleach, Comet, Brillo pad, nothing worked. So we had to sand the wall down in order to paint over it before we moved from that place. So I knew that from that point on, what I needed to do was supply my child with that the tools he needed to grow that skill, to increase in that skill. And today he designs educational games. He designs actual games. He does public speaking. He's a positive rap artist. And what he does is when he does his positive rap, he goes into the school. He has gone into the school, and he has flip charts so the kids can have a visual. And he's done those by hand. He didn't have anybody create them, computerized and blowing them up into poster size. He actually did each one by hand. So when I say train them up in the way they should go, find your child's bent. What they like to do? Do they like to work with their hands? Do they like to talk? Do they like to ask questions? Do they like books? If they go to the books and they constantly flip in the books, get them some books. Get books that are bright in color. Get books with people that look like us. Okay? You never know. They may become a writer. Okay? You never know. They may own their own library. So do what we need to do for our children. And like I said, I want to thank Marcus Banks Bay for being there because we have to provide positive influences in our child's life, and we are the ones to do it. And if we don't have that male figure in our home like it used to be years ago, I mean, the community did that. And it's not just a cliche to say that. The community, you know, mama down the road and mama wasn't here, Aunt Sally down the road, well, she wasn't really your aunt, but you called her aunt, you know, took care of the situation. Uncle John, you know, did what he needed to do. He wasn't your family, but you called him Uncle John. And that's just not a cliche because I go on my Facebook page all the time, and people are posting their mom's pictures, and people are coming out of the woodwork where I grew up at, say, I remember her. She was the sweetest lady, and da-da-da. Oh, Mr. Blue looks so good. Uh-huh. I see all these tapes, and we were young kids at that time, and we knew everybody's parents. And so, you know, and they helped. They watched out for us, and I want to thank that village for that. So we have to create that village. I heard someone talking the other day that how we don't even know our next-door neighbor's name. We may go out the door, nod our head, wave a hand, how you doing? But do we ever even spend time with them? I'm speaking to myself. Because when my children were younger, you know, I knew my neighbors. I knew my neighbors next door on the right-hand side across the street from me. Okay, I had to know them because those were my neighbors. And I had young kids, and they helped, you know. If I go out there and said, do you see my son? Oh, yeah, he walked down the street. They knew what was going on. So we have to have that same camaraderie with our neighbors. We have to have that cohesiveness of our village, of our culture. Today I want to talk to you about, but before I go there, if you want to call in and you want to talk to me about the village, you can talk to me. If you have some things that you're doing in your community to bring your people together. Talk to me. I'm going to share this with you. Yesterday I was in Sears, and I was walking down the aisle, coming in the door. This lady was walking out with her little girl. And I looked at her because she looked like somebody I knew. And I was so busy looking at her. Usually I'll speak to people. I'll say, hey, how you doing? But she spoke to me first. And I said, oh, how you doing? Smile and everything, nod my head. I had to turn around. I said, excuse me, I need to ask, I need to say something. She's like, me? I said, yeah, you. And I reached out and I shook her hand. I said, thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. She said, that's just what I do. You know, I'm just that type of person. We don't do that anymore, but that's just who I do. I said, thank you very much, and keep up the good work. And that's what I really felt. I had to turn around and say something to her, because we go places, and we see people that look like us, and especially in my little town, and sometimes people only want to speak to you. So we have to say hi. We have to say, how you doing, okay? We have to let people know who we are. And build up. If you start speaking to people, when you see them at the grocery store, you say, hey, how you doing? After a while, you're going to really strike up a conversation and really get to know that person, because now you've become familiar with them just and say, hello, how you doing? You don't have to, at the beginning, get all up in their business, but just making that little comment. Hello, how are you doing today? And if you really don't want to know how they're doing, don't say how you're doing. Just say hello. Because some people will really tell you how they're doing. And you got to listen. Sometimes they say, I'm not doing too good. Oh, okay, you have a good day. Do we really want to know how they're doing? So when they say, I'm not doing too good, you ask the question now, how you doing? And they say they're not doing. So take that minute. Say, you know what, I got a minute. Can I help you with something? And if you can't help them with something, direct them in a direction where they can get the help that they need. We are full of resources. Last night I was at my NAACP meeting, and I mean, the people that are now joining the NAACP in my community, I'm like, I'm just seeing the talent. Just bringing these people together. I'm like, wow. We had this in our community all these years that I didn't know it. This person could do this. This person could do that. Build up our community so we can have something for our young people to do. I am just amazed at the talent that I see in my community that's just been lying dormant because nobody has really called on them to do what they can do best. So that's where I'm at right now, getting that village back and asking you to look into your community and create that village in your community. All right. Today we're going to just talk about the education, like I always talk about, and we always going to talk about that word that I love to talk about, inculcate. Remember that word, inculcate? Inculcate means to steadily put in a person or to give an idea or a suggestion over and over and over again. It's like the rock that has a hole in it. How did that hole get it? A steady drip of water kept dripping on that rock. And that's what inculcate means, that there's been a steady dripping of some type of information that has been put in us that now that's all we know. And I always give the idea of when I was going to school in New York, and I could tell you all of the patriotic songs that we sing now, sing them, because that's what we were taught every day. I can go to a nursery rhyme book, even though they changed some of the words now because they felt like it was too harsh for kids, but I could go to a nursery rhyme book and don't get me at a baby shower, okay? Don't get me at a baby shower, and you got to come up with the name of a nursery rhyme when they get two words to it, because I'm going to win that game, because I constantly read nursery rhymes all the time. I loved them. I read them all the time. I would go get our little childcraft book, and that first book, I would just read. And that's what I love to do. So inculcate means to constantly drip a bit of information that you want that person to know, and it becomes their standard for life, okay? So what we have to do is we have to find a new solution to drip into our young people. And I'm finding that through Afrocentric education. the Afrocentric education. No, I have not ordered my curriculum from Kamali Academy. I don't want to get anything online. I want the actual book so I can have them in my library. So if my brother is listening today from Kamali Academy, call in and just talk to us a little bit more, because I need to get those books, that I need to contact you so I can know how to purchase. Just, I want the books. I don't want online. I don't want to print anything out, even though I can, and put it in a booklet. I would love to have the books that you're putting out. Over the past week, last week, I had the opportunity to test a young man, and I think I said this earlier on one of my shows, going into the eighth grade, but came to one of his football coaches and said, you know what, I need help. I don't know my math, and I'm having problems in school, and they keep passing me. I need help. So they called on out my organization, and I said, you know what, let me go ahead and test this young man. I tested him, and I found that he is having a struggle in his math. He's going to eighth grade, but he's at a fourth grade level in math. Whew. In the fourth grade level, beginning of fifth grade level. So, and I use that ACE curriculum, the one that I always tell you guys about, ACE diagnostic testing online. It's free. All you have to do is go online, and it's free testing, diagnostic testing, so, and they'll send it to your email. If you have problems, you can always hit me up on my Facebook page, understanding what that testing is all about, or shoot it over to me in an email. I give you my email once you hit me up on Facebook so I can help you decipher what it is that your child needs to work on. And I'm saying all this because, you know, in my little town, we had two tutoring places, Club Z, and we had Kumon. Tutoring. Kumon closed down a few years back. They were just charging too much money for these kids, you know, to be tutored. And Club Z, they just retired. The couple just retired. And now we don't have any other tutoring except for the after school. But I did find out that from some schools, they do have what the supplemental educational services. And then they do have a tutoring program, but you have to qualify. Remember when I told you that with this Common Core comes a lot of different things. And I told you that with the Common Core, you no longer will be able to say, okay, I make this amount of money, that my household income for the year is this amount of money. But now you have to tell them where the money comes from. Okay, you got to say, what is your income? What is your job? All the stuff that you have to give. So here we have a problem. Children need tutoring and help with their homework, but they have to qualify for that. So what about those who are struggling that don't qualify because they make $2 more than what you say they should make? There has to be something that has to be stepped up to the plate. And that's where I'm at right now, stepping up to the plate, doing a literacy program. Now, literacy programs are different than tutoring programs. And I'll tell you why. Tutoring programs will help you with the work that you're doing right now, okay? If you're working on pre-algebra or Algebra 1 or geometry, you're working with, that's what your school is teaching you right now. So tutoring is that, this is where you're working at in school, I'm going to help you get through that. I'm going to help you learn how to do those problems. But the real problem is not so much as where they are, it's where they got off the track. Now, I look at education as taking a ride on a train, okay? You're taking a ride on a train, and every stop is a grade level. But just like trains, you have to get to a certain destination by a certain time. You have to start, and then you have to end at a certain destination at a certain time. You may get there a little bit late, you may get there a little bit early, but not by many minutes unless something major has happened on the track, and then you don't get there in time. That's what has happened to a lot of our children. Something has major has happened at in between one of those stops. So basically, if you're in third grade and you're doing fine, and you go to fourth grade, and all of a sudden, you're losing it. You can't get, hello, there's a major wreckage on the track. That wreckage is that child. But guess what? He might have to get off the track or whatever they have to do, or get off the train, but the train has to continue on. This is where Johnny is stuck. He's stuck at the third month of the fourth grade level. Not literally get off, but academically, he's getting off the track. He's getting off the train, and the train is constantly moving. His academics have stopped there. It's like he's putting something on the mantle and it's saying, okay, this is where I'm stuck. Okay, we're going on now to fourth grade. We're getting, okay, I understand some of the things that you're teaching me. I kind of understand this, but remember, Johnny, the third month of fourth grade, there's some things that he just didn't get. But he's moseying along. His work is slower and slower and slower. Now he's going into the fifth grade. Now he's going into the sixth grade. Remember, he lost it on fourth grade, third month of fourth grade. This is where he kind of got stuck. But they still have him on the train. And he just can't grasp it. Now, if there's anybody out there that can explain a little bit better than I am, that's fine, call in. But this is where we're at. So we can tutor our children all we want. Parents, if you see something going on in your children are still in the public school system, yeah, you can go ahead and get a tutor. You can pay for that tutor. But tutoring is not going to help your child where they got off the track. Tutoring is going to help them where they are. The diagnostic test that I recommend is that it'll take you, and now this is a test, I'm going to go digress here. This test has changed a little bit, and it's changed for the better. If you say that I am now in the seventh grade, I'm going to eighth grade, what they're going to do is look at you at seventh grade because you haven't started eighth grade yet. They're going to take you three grades below. So you're going to start at the fourth grade level. So you're going to go start at the fourth grade level if you're doing your math, fourth grade level if you're doing your reading, okay, whatever test you're taking. And every few questions is like, let's look at it this way. You take a textbook, and you know how thick the math textbooks can be. But what this program does is they break that textbook down into 10 books. 9 or 10 books, and in each book, which they call a pace, it covers a certain part of that book, which it is always at the beginning of the book. They're going to review what you've already learned. They're going to give you a pretest, pass it with 80%. Then you move on to the next section, okay, in that same book. Now they're teaching you what you need to know, and every little thing that you learn, they're pre-testing you until you get to the end of the book. Now, when you finish the end of the book, they give you another test. Now, when you finish that pace, which is about 30 pages long, 26 pages long, they're going to say, now you need to take a pace test. That's going to encompass everything that you have learned in that one book, and you got to pass that with a 90%. If you don't pass that with a 90%, guess what? You got to go back. And I like that because you know your child is going to get it. But at any time you want to jump off of that pace, if you have it, and once you get your test scores, you could use whatever you need. My son, we did the paces, but I had to pull away from those and teach him myself because I knew my child's learning style. Every child is not going to be able to sit there and just go through paces after pace. Some kids will go through that, and they'll finish up. But I like the fact of the Afrocentric curriculum. So if you could get a hold of an Afrocentric curriculum and learn the basics of what your child needs after testing, you're going to be on a great path to helping your child. Like I said, tutoring is to help them to get where they are right then. Going back to the testing helps you to find out where Johnny got off the track and be able to help him. Whether it's learning their multiplication. Now, my child was going to fourth grade, fifth grade, and I was wondering why every day he came home from school and I had to help him with his division, long division. It's because he didn't know multiplication. So what did I have to do when I first started homeschooling? I had to work with multiplication facts, and I had to also, because he was reading, the boy could read, like, wonderfully, but when it came to spelling the words, because he learned phonics, he learned the sounds of the letters. So if you had a sound, if you said a word and he didn't hear those letters, that's not what he didn't write those letters. Education would be education. Shun. That's what it would be. Education. But he knew what it looked like when he read it, but he couldn't spell it. So those are the things that I had to work with, was spelling and multiplication. Then we went on. Once he got the multiplication, then we could go on into division, and he was on his way. So once again, I want to let you know that as parents, homeschool parents, as parents that still have their children going to a public school, this is the beginning of the school year. Some of you have already started. Some of you are getting ready to start in September. This is the time that you need to make a difference in your child's life. If you're going to keep them in the public school, you have to be involved. There's no other way. Like I always say, when your child goes to that school, the first day they step foot into that school, your child, it becomes a guessing game with that teacher, preschool, kindergarten teacher, whatever grade they're in, it becomes a guessing game. Because now they got to figure out, how does Earl learn? How can I get Earl to sit in his desk? How can I get Earl to read his book? How can I get Earl to do this? Well, Mom, you know, maybe she has Earl reading books about history. Earl don't like books about history. Earl likes books about sports. So it is up to you, and so you won't be frustrated getting notes home. The baby won't be, Earl won't be frustrated, feel like he don't know what he's doing. And the teacher won't be frustrated because she has a whole bunch of 30 kids in the class and Earl's not doing what he's supposed to do, according to her, because she can't get him to do the reading on a history book. But give him a book about sports, or even give him a history book about people that look like him. Maybe he may do a little bit better. So that's what I'm saying. Parents, you have to be involved in your child's education. You have to go up there. And now, this is a law. Your jobs are required to give you time off from work to go be at your child's school, whether it's a child's meeting or whatever it is that your child is doing. You have a right to take off to go be at that child's school. So say, for instance, you're working someplace in an office and maybe you could take a long lunch hour. Maybe you could go in an hour and a half late to work because you want to go to the school, you want to sit in your child's class. But remember, if you're in the public school, you got to get permission. But you have a right to go sit in that child's class. Okay? You go sit in that child's class, go to those back-to-school nights, go in there, find out where your child is at. If your child is having problems in reading or seeing the board, that's important for you to know where your child's sitting, because if they can't do the work, it's only probably because they're sitting so far back. My youngest one, he was sitting far back in the classroom, and he couldn't see the board, so he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what she was writing on the board because he couldn't see it. And then we took him to go get his eyes tested, and the boy almost had to wear trifocal because he couldn't understand what was on the board. So it's important that you take the time. Find out where your child is sitting in class. Find out who else is in this class. When you go to back to school night, guess what you see? You see other parents in that class. And you get to meet those other parents. You get to see their attitude and how they're feeling. You get to see how their response to the teacher. I'm telling you what, these teachers that they're getting from these organizations that are popping up all over the place, and I think one is called Teach for America. That's what it was. Teach for America. They're getting these students that are out of college. They have their teaching credential now, and they're placing them in different parts of the country. So if you're living in the heart of, let's say, Mississippi, or Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, was that Mississippi? Anyway, one of those cities in the South, and it's a predominantly black classroom. But you got this little Miss White girl coming from Nebraska, and maybe she hadn't even hardly seen any black folks in Nebraska, the little town she's from. But she comes over here to where you are, in a little Mississippi town, and she has to teach these kids. And now she's willing to do this because her student loans will be forgiven after she's there for a few years. So you have to know the climate of that teacher, what that teacher's like. You got to look and see how the other parents are responding to that teacher, because if the other parents are responding to that teacher in a negative way, that's going to get that teacher all up in a tiff. She's going to get all nervous because these black people are coming at her and they're shaking their head. And my child, and my child, and my child, this is the first year of teaching. Man, there goes your child education. There goes your child in the classroom. Because now she's got an earful and an eyeful of what she thinks black parents are like. So you're going to have to keep an eye on that. Another thing that you might want to think about doing is, let me go here real quick. There I am. I'm trying to make sure that I got all my messages. If I see anybody calling in, that I want you to call in. I don't want you to call in, and I don't get your call. But another thing that you might want to do is look very closely at the paperwork that you're filling out at the beginning of the school year. Don't just be in a rush to fill things out and spin it like you're just sitting it out. Okay, you want to know what you're signing for your baby. Also, whether they're junior high, high school, elementary school, preschool, you want to know what you're doing. I want to talk to you about extracurricular activities that you might be interested in enrolling your children in. I know that a lot of our children right now they're getting ready to go back to school. So we have our junior high and high school students are getting into volleyball. They're getting into football. And there's a lot of practices and stuff on the weekends and after school. And then you have your Thursday night, Friday night games and all that that's going on. Parents, you want your child to be involved in these sports, but don't have them involved in too many things. If you can't, what I'm trying to say is don't let those sports be your child's babysitter, okay? Our children need to learn a whole lot about who they are, and really we need to bring our family back together. We really do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, as much fun as it is to go watch a football game, when your child tears his ACL or whatever, that football team is going to go, but your child has an injury. And you got to watch what's going on with the coaches and stuff, make sure that they're not putting that child back in the game because they're a star football player. Because, once again, it's about dollars. It's about dollars. It's about those coaches. If they do good, you know, other people are going to be looking at them, and they're going to be offered other positions at other schools making a lot more money. It's a money thing. Now, I'm flipping the script on the public school and what you need to be doing and what you need to be thinking about there. I've always talked to us about starting our own and looking into the weekend days like Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon and coming together for maybe a gathering, somebody's house or wherever you want to go to a park, wherever you need to go. And pull yourself together and have your children start learning about who they are. And the Afrocentric curriculum would be a great way to start. As I was looking at the Kamali Academy program, they have what they call a warrior teacher course, and it will help you to work with your children, learn how to develop warrior scholars. I mean, they have programs where you, I'm looking at their website now, you could do planting gardens and different things with your children. So that's something that you want to do. You want to be able to learn, teach them how to plant. You want to teach them, learn how to create things, even their own family business. And it's something that could be taught with all ages, multiple ages at the same time. So you want to bring people together and do that. Maybe plant a community garden. Grow your greens, your cabbage, your watermelon, your corn, whatever it is that you love to eat, your cucumbers, your medium cucumbers, squash, broccoli, cauliflower, whatever, beans, peas, whatever it is that you love to grow, pull that together. Find a place where you can do it. If you have a community garden, just get that little plot there that you guys could come and work with your children planting. Once a week, go and check it out, pull up the weeds and stuff like that. You want to be able to do that. You want to be able to find activities in your community will help, but will be geared toward your African culture, whether it's a museum is doing something or there's a fair or if there's a block party. You want to be there. You want to be there where there's positive black people that are teaching, where they have their African mask, they're selling their shea butter, they're selling their homemade earrings and whatever else they're doing, their clothing. You definitely want to be a part of that. You definitely want to be a part of that. You could also learn how to get your homeschooling quickly started. We're going to talk about that right now. So getting your homeschool started, if this is the way that you're going to be going, we always talk about going to your state, finding out what the laws are, and I always take you to Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA, capital HDLSA. And when you go to that that site, you could click on your state, and they're constantly update. They're constantly updating. So what you would do, when you click on that, if you Google it, you see where it says state laws. Underneath that, and now you just click on your state. You just click on your state, whether you're California, Arizona, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania. And they have a map. And this map, it has all of the states, and they have different colors. And then you'll see where they have states that are in yellow, orange, green, and red. And basically what it's telling you is who has the highest regulation and who has the lowest regulation. Now, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, it seems like they have the highest state. The state requires parents to send notification or achievement test scores and professional evaluation plus other requirements. Now, they're going to ask, you're going to have to be doing this. And also, curriculum must be approved by the state. Teacher qualifications of parents or home visits by state officials. So you're going to have people coming up into your home if you're doing this in this group. So if you're going to start a charter school or whatever you're going to do, you need to get some type of help starting your home school to make sure that you're doing it right. Nobody comes shut you down. Now, there's states that require no notice, no state requirement for parents to initiate any contact. You don't have to. And then there are states with low regulation. It requires parental notification only that my child is going to be homeschooled. And then there's states with moderate, like, let me see what state, Arkansas. States require parents to send notification, test scores, and or professional evaluation of students. So if you are creating or you can connect with a group of parents to start a program, then maybe the testing. Now, what I found out in some of these homeschool charter schools, you're at home, they'll provide your books, but you could always add your own curriculum to it. They said, okay, you have to do arts, music, fine arts, singing, whatever you need to do, dancing. But that doesn't mean that you got to do that dance. You could do your African dance. You could do your African art. You could do whatever you need to do in these homeschool charter schools. They'll give you the curriculum, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't add your own. Plus, they also do the testing. Your child comes in and they do the testing, and they send the test scores off. So there's many different ways that you could do this. I homeschooled a couple of young people using a homeschool charter school. So that's what I did at one point. And it was very successful. The parents really loved it. Some parents came in every 2 weeks and they took their children to the school to drop the work off. One student, I took them every 2 weeks to the school to drop their work off. And I let them know that this is what I'm doing. This child is struggling in this, so we couldn't go on into that part of the math or that part of the history because they were, or that part of science because they were struggling. And we went on field trips and stuff like that. They brought their lunch to my house. This is what we were doing, and I got paid for that. So come on now. There's a lot of things that we can do to work with our students and make sure our students are getting the best education. Educare, educare, mean to withdraw out. That's the root word, to draw out of our children what is already in them. So we got to think about what is in our children, and to educate them is to bring out. Education is more than just what you learn at that brick-and-mortar building, that where you have people who are paid to monitor your children, mainly to train your children, not to teach them, not to educate them, but to train them. This is how it's going to be because we're data banking you, and we want you to be a good little kid and to fit into society. Like, we want you to fit into society, so we're going to train you. This is how you're going to do it. So education is more than that, okay? Education is from the time you wake up in the morning, what's going on in your home, positive or negative, you're educating your children, okay? So the true education is pulling out of them. You see what your child is capable of, and you're pulling out of them what is in them. Okay, let me see if I have any calls calling in. We'll see about that. Let's see. I don't have any calls, so I can continue on. Great. I do want to remind you that this is a live call and talk show. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. Live call-in, you can call it at 646-716-7572. Text the number one and we'll put you in queue. Okay. I want to thank all of you for posting on the education of the miseducated system. It's really great that you post the things that you do, and I thank you for that. And also what you could do is now that my show is being, if you go to the Education of the Miseducated System, you can listen to my archive show, which is really great. So I want you to listen. If you miss the show, you can always go there and listen to the show, okay? Some of the things that I've seen posted here, my sister Kenya, she posted, Black people need to start building their own schools and teach their own children their own. She said kids as children, and that's really true. But the thing that we have a problem with, and I'm going on to this area now, is the trust factor. I believe that we really don't trust each other. We don't trust each other with our money. We don't buy from each other because we don't trust each other with our product. For one thing, we don't think that Black people have money, so we'd rather go and give our money to Walmart, Target, or wherever else we go. I think it's a fact of trust. We don't start our schools because we're not sure that my brothers and sisters who look like me, think like me, are going to enroll their children because they don't think that I know what I know, that I'm capable of teaching their children. That's something that we really, as a Black people, have to really work past and work through. Like they said, some people say the Willie Lynch letter was a fake, it was not real. But I say, whether real or not, what was written in that letter is still working right now for us. It's doing the job. Maybe enough of us read it and felt like this is what's going to happen, so this is the way I want to act. Whatever it was, is doing its job. We don't trust each other, and we have to start trusting each other. And I'm pretty sure that there would be people that were willing to put up money, come out of their park and start something if they knew that they had the support of the family, of the other families in their community. That's why it's so important for us to talk to each other, get to know each other. A lot of you go to church. A lot of you say, hey, you know, praise the Lord or whatever else you do. And that's what you know. But if you can worship with me, why can't we just get together some other time and create something for our students? If you ever get a chance to look up the history of the public school system, you'll realize that it's important that we do come together. And then I also want to share with you a video that I had let a friend look at, and this may even help you make your decision as far as dealing with our young black boys in education. It's called Elementary Genocide. I bought it from Dr. Boyce Watkins, and he had a sale on the video, and I'm trying to get to part two of it. But when I watched it, I let a friend look at it, and she said, I got this video I want you to see. When she brought it to my house, I said, girl, that's my video. I let you look at that a long time ago. I forgot all about it. But I began looking at it, and it really will help us even to come together in our community. If we couldn't start something, but we need to start. If we couldn't start a school, but we need to start something, we really do, family. Man, I wish I could hit every city in this corporation that we call country and the United States of America, and just do a workshop. Just do a workshop. Do a 3-day workshop in every city. And to let you guys know just how simple and easy and how much fun you would have with your child and how close your family would be together. Your children need you. And as they get older, they need us more. So I really would love to see that happen. So let's think more about that. Now, I'm going to switch a little bit more, taking it even further down from elementary school, until I'm going to take you down to preschool. I heard Dr. Umar Johnson say, you cannot start helping a child to get back on track or to help them when they're already reading and when they're in fourth grade and they're already reading at the second grade level. You can help them, but it's a struggle. So therefore, our true education needs to come preschool. It needs to come in the home, going into preschool. So that's why I say, if you had a co-op preschool that you wanted to start with some families, maybe some stay-at-home moms, the only issue with that is that when you do a co-op, nobody gets paid, but everybody takes a turn doing stuff, whether it's bringing snacks, or whether it's teaching a class, or teaching a song, and the co-op preschool is held maybe 2 or 3 days out of the week. You can rotate where it needs to be held. There's no licensing involved. I know in California there's no licensing involved because the parents are running this, not a school, and you can teach whatever you need to teach. So to start something like that would be great, or even if you did something on the weekend once again. Let me share with you. I was in New York City in Central Park in June, might have been June of 2012. Yeah, it probably was June 2012. And got up early that morning, my friend and I, we went to Central Park, and she fell asleep on the bench, and I stayed awake looking around because we were really tired. We had been running all over New York for that whole week. But then I fell asleep on the ground after she got up. I fell asleep on this blanket. And when I woke up to these children's songs. The wheels on the bus go round and round. I'm like, where am I? And I looked up, and there was this lady. She had all of these babies around her. She was in the middle of the circle. She had a guitar. And she was talking to the babies, little kids, toddlers and infants. And do you know who was there with those infants? Their nannies. all of these, this is where the nannies would meet in the middle of Central Park with their strollers. They're sitting there with the babies. Some of them were parents, and this lady would be doing what she's doing. Then they would finish with, and they would pay her with a check or whatever cash, and she'd let them know when we're going to be here next week, and da da da, and how many spaces that they had available. I mean, it's a big park. And she would do little activities with them. That's something that can be done. That's something that could be really done in your community, okay? And whoever is holding it that day, now I'm not saying don't pay, but everybody is worthy of their hires. You hire somebody, you need to give them something, break them off a piece of something. So if that person is sitting, taking the time out, whether it's a parent rotating their skills in that circle, break them off a piece. If you got 25 parents, there are 25 babies, 25 parents in that circle, and everybody break them off $3, $5. $5 is nothing. And they're walking away like, wow, this is really good, okay? Plus, my child is getting help. I'm helping. There's other parents, and we're all happy. So these are some of the things that I'm talking to you about today. So, like I said, homeschool, doing something with your children, co-op, getting involved in the classroom, making sure you know what your children are doing in the classroom, where your child's seat is, knowing who that teacher is, knowing who the other parents are in that classroom. Also, the village, working with the village, creating a village, getting back to that, knowing who your neighbors are, and creating that camaraderie in the village so your children will know, hey, that's Miss Brown down the street. Oh, that's Miss Blue down the street. Oh, that's Mr. Green down the street, okay? They know who is who in the community, okay? Well, that's all for today. I just wanted to share with you some of the thoughts that are on my mind. Also, let's do our diagnostic testing. You don't have to wait till the school to test your child. You test your child. Go online to ACE, diagnostic testing. If you want to start homeschooling, go to Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and that's it for the day. I want to thank you all for listening. You have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you on next Tuesday.
Just move on up. Move on up. But move on up. Watch out, but just move on up.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.